The next case we'll hear is Pocono Mountain School District, VTD.
Good morning, Judge Roth. May it please the court, my name is John Freund. I represent the Pocono Mountain School District. With me is my colleague and co-counsel, Hazel Time. Your Honor, we bring you today something not quite as sensational as the last case, but important nevertheless. This case involves a question of the degree and parameters by which I believe the court should determine or not determine eligibility. I won't go into...
Let me start at the end.
I'm sorry.
If I just start with the end.
Yes, I think that's a great place to start.
What relief are you specifically asking for?
Well, what we're asking for is to have the district court's determination of IDA eligibility reversed. And so we are asking to have the balance of his opinion affirmed. And denial of all relief.
And what about the money? Are you
going to
ask that the money come back to the school district that has already been paid?
Well, that's a decision the district is going to have to make, but that's usually a rather difficult venture. No, we're not asking the court to order.
Okay. So, Mr. Friend.
Yes, Your Honor.
And this is this case is unusual procedurally between the IDEA and Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act.
Yes.
And the Pocono Mountain School District has paid the tuition reimbursement that was ordered by the hearing officer.
Yes, and actually, Judge, if I could add, that money was paid not so much under that order, but under pendency.
Okay,
we were obligated to pay it no matter win or lose.
It's correct that you paid it under pendency. It's been paid.
Yes, Judge.
It's been paid. You just said you're not asking to get it back. Why isn't that particular question moot?
Judge, I think for two reasons. Well, that question, I think that this is a case, as are many of the cases that involve tuition reimbursement or cases in which a parent places a child in a private school and we have this pendency issue, those cases are inevitably capable of repetition and yet avoiding.
Yes, but then, the student who went to the private Notre Dame Academy, TD's back in the Pocono Mountain School District. And I know you're making the argument here that it's capable of repetition, but it seems to me that's going to be a separate case if that would occur. And your question here is I'm not sure what the question is. You paid the tuition reimbursement. You're not asking for it back. And I don't see how that is capable of repetition.
Okay. Well, as far as the school district is concerned, matter is certainly not moot. We are looking at a substantial prevailing party fee claim here. If the district court's, we believe, erroneous determination is not corrected.
IDEA.
Under the IDEA, yes.
If we find that this case was moot, it would be appropriate for us to vacate the district court's determination under the IDEA. And at that point, the question of attorney's fees would be dependent on whether or not TD could argue that they were a prevailing party. But that wouldn't necessarily flow from our decision. It would flow from the entire record.
Well, I believe you're correct on that, Your Honor. But in terms of, once again, the posture of these cases in which kids are placed in private schools and districts are required to essentially pay the tuition under pendency, it really renders them kind of helpless with regard to having a correct adjudication of the rights and obligations under
504. I hear what you're saying there, but it sounds an awful lot to me like you're asking us for an advisory opinion for cases like this.
Isn't this a legislative matter rather than a judicial matter?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I mean, our primary concern here was with the determination that the district court made, absent any evidence in the record, that the child was eligible. And so we feel that both under the general principles that all courts have announced with regard to not second-guessing or giving discretion to educational experts, and also the modified de novo review standard, we think that the judge did not follow those standards, and in fact circumvented the statutorily required procedure for determining eligibility.
But the judge did find that the child was in need of special services, right? And you're saying that there was no evidence in the record to support that finding?
Absolutely not, Judge. Absolutely none. There were seven evaluations of this child. Not one of them found him eligible. Some of those evaluations were the parents' evaluations. Some of them were independent. Some of them were from the school. All during the time that he was at Pocono Mountain, he was neither identified under IDEA nor under Section 504. It wasn't until he was in Notre Dame for almost a year that he was identified as 504.
While he was at Spokane School District, there was a sense of emotional disturbance of the emotional effect that his stress condition was having on his eyes, that this was affecting his ability to get his schoolwork done, and that this emotional condition needed treatment. Now, isn't that covered by IDEA?
Well, it could be covered, Your Honor. However, there are statutory procedures that are spelled out, including, you know, full evaluations on various scales. Those evaluations were done by psychologists, educational experts, including the neuropsychologist hired by the parents. And none of them felt that those problems warranted eligibility under either statute. My colleague here, who's been practicing special ed for many, many years, likes to say, you need not only the name, you need the game. In other words, it's a two-prong determination, and here there's simply no evidence of the second prong. We're not disputing this diagnosis of anxiety or conversion reaction or hysterical amblyopia. We have no basis to challenge that. What we are saying is that the process for determining eligibility is set out in the statute, in the law, in the practice, and it was circumvented here by the district court. That's what we're saying. And in fact, that's all we're saying.
What about the 26 days of compensatory education?
I think that falls with the IDEA.
So they rise and fall together.
We believe that, Your Honor.
Yeah, but
did I ask for 5 minutes? I'm sorry if I didn't.
No, okay, we'll give you 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Did you properly raise that?
I think you did, Your Honor. I mean, that was implicit in, before you have compensatory education, you have to have a violation of FAPE. And I believe that we did raise that, both in the IDEA and in the Section 504. I think we fully argued that. I think that was assumed. So we'd ask the court to reverse court, dismiss any relief,
but you don't quibble with the 504 finding.
Well, we do. Yeah, there was no basis. 504 and IDEA essentially have the same type of test. But they're different statutes, of course, but they have the same type of test. Once again, you need the name and a game.
And the game wasn't here. I mean, you don't quibble with the fact that you have to have deliberate indifference to get 504 relief.
Oh no, that was our position all along. That's why we took exceptions from the magistrate judge's opinion.
But you're not quibbling with the fact that TD is eligible for 26 hours of compensatory education under Section 504.
Oh yes, we are, absolutely. Absolutely. There's no.
Where did you make that argument?
That argument is implicit, Your Honor, throughout our brief. It's implicit throughout our brief. In addition, we feel that the brief adequately sets forth the position that not only do you need deliberate indifference for tuition reimbursement, but for any monetary damage whatsoever, including compensatory education. And in fact, there are no cases cited. There are no cases that we are aware of under 504 that say anything to the contrary. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
How do you cite to an implicit argument? It's implicit throughout our reading. I find it difficult to focus on an implicit argument when I'm really not quite sure where it is.
Okay. Well, I don't have the brief here in front of me, so I can't point to the page. But I think that you'll see that in our brief, we make the argument that compensatory education should rise and fall with the determination of eligibility. And the eligibility under 504 and under IDEA are substantially identical.
And is this identified as an issue before the court in the brief?
Again, Your Honor, I believe it's implied, yes, absolutely. And if we were challenging we're not challenging the amount of compensatory education done. We're challenging the basis upon which that finding of either compensatory education or tuition reimbursement is made. And that's implicit throughout our argument.
Well, how can you say you're not...
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Judge Roth.
Well, whether it's equitable or not, it's compensatory, and I believe the cases specifically cited in the brief and also in the underlying opinion have said that that tuition reimbursement is in fact a compensatory damage under 504.
But if it is an equitable remedy, it does not need indifference.
Your Honor, I beg to differ. I think that is wholly a semantic argument. And again, there are cases cited both by the district court and in our brief that make it clear that under 504, tuition reimbursement should be considered a compensable damage and not an equitable remedy.
So, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Gehring, good morning.
Good morning, Your Honors. Good morning, Judge Roth. May it please the court, I'm Michael Gehring, and on behalf of the family in this case, TD and his mother. Your Honor, this case is moot. The tuition reimbursement...
You're saying across the board it's moot?
The tuition reimbursement aspect of this case is moot. The school district argued the only issue before the court, this court, is the issue of compensatory education, which is waived, and I will get to that.
Well, they also made an argument of prevailing party relief.
Your Honor, they said in their reply brief, the award of tuition reimbursement is not before this court. You don't have to decide it. By saying that, they're saying you should affirm the district court's finding on that.
No.
Are they saying that?
I believe they are, Your Honor.
I thought that their arguments indicated they continued to disagree with the district court's position under the IDEA. But even if they, regardless of that, the case was moot because they paid tuition reimbursement.
Your Honor, they paid tuition reimbursement because the hearing officer ordered them to do so.
And under the pendency provision required them to do that, did it not?
Pendency only kicks in once we prevail in the administrative hearing. So we
Which you did.
We did.
Which you did, and they paid.
And they paid. So we prevailed in the administrative hearing. They paid the tuition because they were ordered to do so, and also under pendency. In the district court, the...
Was that paid before the district court decided this case?
I believe it was, Your Honor.
Okay, so if we agree with you that the case was moot, in actuality it was moot before the district court decided.
If you go by their argument that paying the tuition reimbursement moots the case, but they certainly didn't argue that in the district court, Your Honor. We went through extensive briefing, and they argued vociferously that it was this issue needed to be decided. And they got up and through several rounds of briefs before this court, and in their last round they said, actually, Your Honors, we don't need to decide this issue. This award of tuition reimbursement is not before this court. Therefore, it's our position that tuition reimbursement having been awarded by the district court and by the hearing officer, you should take Mr. Freund at his word and affirm that award. Your Honor, the Section 504 compensatory education argument they deem to raise implicitly is waived at every aspect of this proceeding, Your Honors. They never challenged the award of compensatory education in their opening brief. You can look backwards and forwards in that. It's just not there. All they challenge is IDA eligibility. And the tuition of the award of compensatory education by the district court and by the hearing office was not under IDA. It was under Section 504. And we've cited that in our briefs, and if I could cite it again, Your Honors, at the hearing officer, page at the record 040 through 44, awards tuition reimbursement under Section 504. The district court, A107, 112, 121, says three separate times tuition reimbursement, compensatory education was awarded under Section 504, not under IDA. Therefore, whether TD is eligible under IDA or not has nothing to do with the award of compensatory education. That award was under Section 504. However, whatever they say about IDA eligibility has nothing to do with that award. And you will find no argument anywhere in their briefs specifically setting forth why the award of award of compensatory education should be reversed. They do not argue that TD was not eligible under Section 504.
So let me stop you right there. The Pocono filed the initial appeal to this court.
Yes.
What was the basis for your cross appeal?
The basis of our cross appeal, Your Honor, is the district court's findings that deliberate indifference was required to establish to be eligible for tuition reimbursement under Section 504, which is directly contrary to Supreme Court case law and prior law of this court. The court's finding that TD was there was insufficient evidence in the record that the district was deliberately indifferent to TD's needs. So our arguments all go to tuition reimbursement, and to the extent that that is a live issue before this court, those issues need to be decided.
I understand. Okay.
If tuition reimbursement is not an award before this court, as Mr. Freund has argued in his brief, then the court does not need to reach those issues. Simply put, the award of compensatory education is not before this court. Mr. Freund got up and said for the first time that I've heard from him in his briefs and from anybody that award of compensatory education under Section 504 requires a showing of deliberate indifference. That's the first time I've heard that. There's no case law supporting that. They did not argue that. The award of tuition, the district court found that an award of tuition reimbursement is akin to compensatory damages and requires a showing of deliberate indifference under Section 504. The court made no such ruling with regards to the award of compensatory education. So there is simply no basis whatsoever to reverse or even look at or even examine the court's award of tuition of compensatory education under Section 504. Your Honor, there is abundant evidence in the record, despite what Mr. Freund said, that that supports the district court's determination that TD was an eligible student under IDA. The evaluation reports that the district relies on, for the most part, were authored by them. And those reports, until I don't think a single report authored by the district found that TD was even a handicapped or disabled student. They denied all along that he had any disability. In December 2013, when he was at Notre Dame, when Dr. Catchmore issued his report finding that TD was an eligible student under IDEA under the disability category emotional disturbance and required special education services, that is directly in his report, and that's what the district court relied upon. Even after that report, the district said he's not even disabled. He doesn't have a handicap. There's nothing wrong with him. That is strictly wrong, and that's been wrong throughout this. They rely on their own inadequate and inappropriate evaluations, and the hearing officer and the district court both found that the district's evaluation was inappropriate. Based on that, they say that there's no eligibility. Well, Dr. Catchmore not only looked at all the previous evaluations, all the previous school district records, did questionnaires to the parents, talked to TD's teachers at Notre Dame, got updated information. This was shortly after he entered Notre Dame and found he was an IDEA-eligible student who required special education services. And that's what the district court relied upon. So there's a clear basis in the record to support the district court's findings in that regard. However, Your Honor, we don't think that the court necessarily needs to get to that issue. Why? Because, and to the extent the court is going to examine the tuition reimbursement award, The case law is clear, the Supreme Court's law is clear, that an award of tuition reimbursement for denial of a free appropriate public education, or FAPE, is not an award of compensatory damages. The court in Burlington and Carter and Forest Grove made that very clear. Judge Fisher, Your Honor, in the Chambers case, which we've cited in our brief, and this is at 587 F3rd at 184, discusses the Burlington and Carter decisions and then says, the court, referring to the Supreme Court, made clear that the IDA authorized such a monetary award precisely because it did not constitute damages. It did not constitute damages. It would not be awardable in a due process hearing if it was compensatory damages. It was only the fact that the Supreme Court held that it was not compensatory damages. That means it is awardable in an IDA proceeding. It is awardable in a Section 504 proceeding for denial of FAPE. And that's what we're asking for here, Your Honor, equitable educational remedy for a denial of a free appropriate public education. This is not putting money in the parents' pockets. This is not money for pain, suffering, and emotional damages. This is to reimburse the parents for expenses that they incurred because the school district did not provide the services and education it was required to do so. It's an equitable remedy to put the parents back and the student back in the same position he would have been if the school district had fulfilled their obligations to begin with. It's simply not an award of compensatory damages. The Supreme Court and this prior law of this court have said so. In the SH case, which is where the court for the first time imposed a deliberate indifference standard for awards of compensatory damages under Section 504, the court made it very clear. The other side in that case argued, well, but tuition reimbursement has been awarded. That's compensatory damages. And the court said, no. Compensatory damages, tuition reimbursement is not compensatory damages. The Supreme Court has said so, and we're not positioned to say otherwise.
So let me back up. I think you said earlier that if we affirm on IDEA, we don't have to get to 509.
Your Honor, if TD is eligible, if the court affirms the district court's award finding that TD is IDL eligible, then by definition, deliberate indifference is not required, and that award should be affirmed.
So we don't have to go there.
Yes, Your Honor. The only distinction between the two awards under the district court's reasoning, which is erroneous, is that one requires a showing of deliberate indifference,
right,
and one doesn't. The court found that because he's IDA eligible, we don't need to show deliberate indifference. But the court also discussed under 504, deliberate indifference is required, which we think is completely contrary to the case law.
To help me understand the various procedural steps here, before the hearing officer, you prevailed.
Yes.
Your client prevailed under Section 504.
Yes.
Okay. So having prevailed, why did you file the initial complaint in the district court?
Your Honor, under IDA, you are allowed to seek relief from any adverse ruling by a hearing officer. We were happy with the award of tuition reimbursement. We believe we were eligible for an award of additional compensatory education. We also knew the school district was going to appeal, and so we were putting all the issues before the court.
But you have, the hearing officer granted you tuition reimbursement, and they granted compensatory education.
Yes, we believe we were entitled to more compensatory education than the hours.
Additional compensatory education.
Yes, going back for a year prior to that.
Okay. All right.
So both sides were seeking relief in front of the district court. We also filed a damages case seeking additional non-educational relief for emotional damages, et cetera. That case was settled between the parties, and we informed the district court of that. So the court only went forward on the educational claims.
In order to support, in order for the district court to support its finding of eligibility under IDEA, it had to rely on the Catchmar report.
Among other things, Your Honor, yes.
Okay. But how could the district court, under the modified de novo review standard that both the district court and our court are required to give to the hearing officer's evaluation, how could the district court have ignored the independent determinations and by independent and by the Pocono School District, the evaluations that concluded that TD was not eligible?
Your Honor, I don't believe that the court ignored any of those reports. It took them into consideration. The court focused on the fact that the school district found that TD was not even a handicapped or disabled student, which clearly is not worthy of belief, and that colored all their earlier reports. The one independent report by Dr. Hoover from April 2013 specifically found that TD was disabled, had conversion disorder, anxiety disorder, but left it to the school district IEP team to determine eligibility one way or the
okay.
other.
Okay. Aren't the federal courts required to give deference to those administrative findings?
It's a modified de novo review, Your Honor, and if the court makes, we need to make, the court is required to give deference to factual findings from the hearing officers. I would argue that IDEA eligibility is not a factual finding per se. It's at best a mixed question of fact and law. It's taking into account the facts in the record. What legal conclusion do you draw from that? And the district court found that TD in fact needed special education services based on Dr. Catchmar's report and other evidence. If you look at Dr. Shillabeer's report from later that year, Dr. Shillabeer found that, and this was after Thomas had been at Notre Dame for nearly a year, and it was a much more appropriate setting for him, and he made a lot of progress, especially after the first several months of the year. Even at that point, Dr. Shillabeer found that Thomas was definitely 504 eligible, and specifically set forth several areas in which Thomas would benefit from specialized instruction, including in executive functioning, organization, emotional control, instruction, special education. At that point, he found that Thomas wasn't IDEA eligible. But it certainly reinforces Dr. Catchmar's report from many months earlier, shortly after TD started at Notre Dame, that at that time, Thomas was IDEA eligible. There's certainly sufficient evidence in the record to support that finding.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Please record.
Not wanting to add any more complications to this rather intricate case mixed with issues and facts, I just want to point out that with regard to the question of compensatory education, that the Chambers case, and in fact every case we could find regarding this that spoke to this issue, found compensatory education not to be compensatory damages in the context of IDEA. And that's because while these statutes are similar, and we deal with these as the court does all the time, and it's a frustrating kind of mystical relationship that the two statutes have together, but they are in fact different statutes, and there is no logical or legal reason to treat compensatory education any differently than tuition reimbursement or any other potential award under 504 as requiring deliberate indifference. But thank you.
Well, let me ask you, your colleague is arguing that if we affirm on IDEA,
okay,
we don't need to get to the 509 issue. Do you agree?
Oh, the 504 issue?
504, I'm sorry. 509.
If you...
504.
Okay. You can throw it in there. It's up and up. If I'm not sure that I understood his argument in that regard, you're saying that if the court affirms on the IDEA, you don't need to get to the other issues. That's probably true, because he would be entitled to, under the IDEA, he would be entitled to compensatory education, or he could be entitled to compensatory education without any finding of deliberate indifference. Yes.
Okay.
But not under 504. It's a different statute. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for the briefs and the argument. We will take this under advisement and get back to you shortly.
Thank you, Your Honor.